welcome to Biz Chicks TV, the place to be for tips and tools and strategies and everything that you need to get help to help you build a profitable business that's fun to run and to take the hassle out of your hustle. Today is Thursday, which means, today is Wednesday, which means it is time for an Island Girl Hustle presentation. It means that we are going to be hearing from the Island Girl herself, Miss Coast Karen, all the way from Toronto, Canada. She's going to be talking to us about our money and our mind on our money and everything in between. So we want to welcome you, everybody who's watching live, everyone who's watching on the replay, East Coast, West Coast, all around the world, Coast. Thank you for joining in. And Coach Karen.
All righty. So as Francine said, I'm Coach Karen. I'm a money mindset coach. And what I really mean is I help you to understand the money, whether it's feeling, whether it's a physical thing for you, or backstory, or just the thought of it scared the daylights out of you. We talk all about that and get you on track to where you need to be. And this could be personal or business. And if it's a startup personal, I know at the back of most people's mind, they want to start a business, but money scares them so much and failure a part of it that makes them don't want to go forward. So that's what we come and discuss every Wednesday. Even when it takes a different form, we're still talking about money and the mindset and how to get you there. This month, we're talking about the sub-life of the business. And so we dive into a lot of things with business this month. The sub-life is, I call it, you know, the administrative part of things. So dealing with human resources, customer service, services and money. So today's topic is human resources, customer service, and money, because they go hand in hand. It's that little quiet place where you don't think that help produce your money, but yeah, it really does, because you fine-tune things, and those things that you fine-tune will get you there. You know, I talk to people all the time from different aspects in their business, and the scariest part, and what I keep hearing over and over, is like, when they do this section of the business, they feel it's a waste of time because it's not immediate money. But what they don't understand, this is so essential for when the money comes in, when you start accepting money. So we don't want to put this aside at all. We want to really think about it. I read this book, and once this man said, he was consulting, and somebody came to him and said to him, I want to start a business. I hate my boss, but I want to save up enough money. But I feel every time I go to save up enough money, I don't have enough money to start a business. It's not like he doesn't have enough money to start a business, because he's afraid to take the leap. That's really what's happening with him. And so that fear been building for 2 years. And he, you know, that was his first thing. The second thing was, how am I going to train people and pay them when I'm not even making money yet? But he never sat down and made a plan to do this. So step one is really the plan. So today we're going to cover three things briefly. And, you know, of course, if you need any more help, you inbox me, you email me, you reach out to the Biz Chicks, they'll help lead you my way, and we can go into it further. But the three things we're going to cover today is, are you getting a sense that money is a problem in your small business? And did you start your business without any money? And have you earned any money yet in your business? And the reason we're talking about those things is because if they're documented, you could answer those questions. And if you haven't been able to answer those questions because you're not documented, which means you can't set up systems, and that's your sub-lifeline is about your system and all your admin work. So that's how that's going to come into play. But I want to make it, if you have any questions and you pitch us live, just make sure you ask us.
And I wanted to say something here, too, that this is crucial that you eliminate the fear.
Yes.
You have got to get fear out. Fear will stop you from moving. It will freeze you up. You're not going to be able to move. And the one reason that there's fear is because we don't have the right information. Mm-hmm. And so Karen is bringing us right information so that we can make a different choice. You don't have to be stuck.
Exactly. And I know, and if you're putting up your hand and said, Karen, you don't understand my fear. Of course, I don't know your specific fear, but fear is fear. And I know we can't totally eliminate it. And fear is good in certain areas to push you. But this is the kind of fear I'm talking about, the stopping fear. I don't want you to just use that as a crutch, because it becomes such a bad habit that you just would do it.
Yeah.
And the reason, the first thing you said, are you getting a sense that money's a problem in your small business, is working through your friends and the fear. So you haven't set up everything, but are you really afraid of the money, or are you afraid about your systems working in place? Are you afraid that your customer service part of your system, your intake is not in place? you know, years ago, I had this question asked of me, what do I do in the meantime? And rarely, even if you never ask it, that's what you ask it. What do I do while I'm waiting to make money? What do I do while I'm waiting to grow my business? What do I do? And that's what we're talking about today. That is the meantime thing. It should be in the beginning, but let's say it didn't and you didn't know how. Now you're learning how. So you set up your system. So if you know your start, that's what you, last week I talked about your dream and how you have to know in advance where you want to go, where you want to see it. So if you know that your business needs to, you know, have employees, don't worry with somebody who is talking about a one-woman show or one-man show, and I don't want anybody. Don't listen to them. Those are not your people to go research. Stay away from them. You need to go research bigger companies. And if you are a one-show person, pony, even if you want to stay that way, I would still encourage you to go talk to somebody who owns a hotel, who has a boutique, who has a, who not have a chair, but who own a salon, who, you know, have a restaurant. Those people thinking is so big, even though they could be the worst thing and they'll tell you it isn't, it is. They just haven't had it analyzed. And that's why they don't understand how big their thinking is. Because you have to be thinking big enough to hire one, two. I don't care if you only have two workers. You have to be dreaming to a certain extent to do that. If you said to yourself, I can't hire anybody, your dream is so small and you're just doing a disservice to yourself. So number one, it's the reason, you know, you get the sense of money in your business because of where your dream line is, where you're stopping it, where you're not pushing it through to the place deep down inside you know you want it to be, but that fear might be hurting you in terms of advertising it, if you will, telling it to people, telling it to yourself, putting it down on paper, watching it up on the board, right? Where you're, and I don't care how small you are, you need to have that dream up there. First, write it out very simple and then break it down into each category, subcategory, and making sure that you're plugging that in there so that you have a place. I can't tell you, there's times where I just take a break from my system and just want to do what I want to do. And that whole week or two can go by with me being lost and not being very productive. If it's my vacation, it's fine. If it's not, I've got a lot of problems here. Mm. You can't do that. You have to be on top of it. So if you were taking time off and you weren't going anywhere on vacation, for example, you would take the time and say, I'm off for 2 weeks, but what do I want to talk about in my business? That would be probably content building time. If you're not doing anything specific to earn and you're living off what you have or what's coming in, but you're planning for the next big step. You're planning ahead. You have to have that done. You have to really work in that. And so what happens is if you aren't bringing in money, money's the first thing comes up and tell you. So the fear use money. And it will say to you, you don't have any money, so you can't do that. You don't have any money. What are you talking about? You can't run Facebook ads. You can't do this. You can't do that. But that's a lie because you can go talk to people, right? Yes. I know we're all online, but you could literally talk to people. And that's what you would do. You would spend your days talking to people because the people you might be talking to might not even buy from you. But this sub is going to buy from you because you're doing pulling. This is when people start talking about visualization and calling money to you and manifesting money. What they're telling you is, I am putting in the work and it's showing up. That's what they're saying. That you can't manifest money without putting in the work. Manifestation comes from you putting in the work. You can't hum and not do anything. Nobody who has money has hummed in money. They hum, but they did. So you got to do the combination. All right?
Yes. Oh, we have to work.
Yeah.
We have to participate.
So number two was, did you start your business without any money? And if you did, nothing is wrong with that. But the truth is, we never start our businesses without any money. We tell ourselves that, but it's a lie. Because you is valuable, so you're coming in, right?
Yes.
Regardless of where you started, you did something. So if you had spent time talking to people about your business, then you brought something into the business. It was not free. That was your time. And whatever you decide to pay yourself per hour, that was the time you spent in your business. So it has, from the time you sit down with yourself and develop a plan, your business has assets in there. I want you to hear this. Your business has assets in there. That's written asset. That's time asset. It's not money yet, but it's the things that are going to get you to that next place. So you really want to spend time in those. And that's where we're talking about the subcategory. That's your customer service time. That's your human resource time. And why are those important? Even if you're going to subcontract out something, you still have to be in a place where you can have that conversation. Where when you talk to a subcontractor, you're not trying to beat them down on pricing. You're not trying to get the cheapest work they can give you, because it will be cheapest work they can give you. They're not going to spend a lot of time with you. Imagine you go to get a website built, and the guy says, or gal says, $5,000, and then they give you a workup showing you why it's $5,000. Pictures. You got to send these things in, yes, and you're like, well, no, you still have to send these in, but they're saying to you, here is all the things I'm going to do. The most thing you should be saying is, I don't understand the technical terms, break them down practically.
Yes.
But other than that, you shouldn't be saying to them, well, you know, Jane charged $1,000. No. The reason you're inquiring from a couple of website web developers is because you want to see who's a fit for you. Now, if you need to negotiate pricing because of where your budget is at, you need to say, look, 9 months down the road, I'll use you, or 6 months down the road, but I'm not ready for you yet.
Yes.
Because now you're budgeting to use them because they're a fit for you. If I have five people who I am developing a website for, and two out of them is not really paying me, I'm going to focus on the three. I'm not going to lie to you, but I wouldn't tell you that. But I would focus on the three that's paying me, because that's paying my bills, that keep my business going. This will make me feel better as a person, again, to celebrate my gifts and talents. I'm getting to use them. And it's just naturally, I'm going to put the least amount of time in the person who's been trying to not pay me. But I won't tell them. And that's what people do. So you've got to be careful when you're like, no, I got to stay cheap. Well, you got what you paid for.
Well, you got it cheap, but then you got cheap value too.
Exactly. And you can call those web developers again and say, you know, this happened to me, because you've got it cheap. So there's no ongoing anything.
No, there's no recourse when something does not quite go the way you want. So now you have no recourse. You're kind of like stuck because you paid the discount rate that didn't come with any support. May I interject a story of why you need to bring value? I have an iPhone, and it was the 10. I bought it the 10 and whatever. And I was like, should I get Apple Care or not? I said, let me go ahead and get the Apple Care. I was driving Saturday, and I was doing an open house and driving Saturday, and we're talking about why you pay for value.
Yes.
I put my stuff in the car after the open house. I was talking to somebody on the phone, and I put the phone down and put the stuff in the car and got everything in there. I'm thinking about my next destination. Forgot my phone was on top of the car. I drove off.
Yes.
I drove off, and I get on the freeway hitting 65 miles an hour. I heard something go clunk, da, 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 da. And I was like, what was that? And I looked down, and my phone wasn't normally where I put it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was like, okay, so I'm not going to panic. Not sure where, because my phone's not here. It's not in my bag. I looked in the trunk. It's like, it's not in my bag. And that's another reason why you don't want to be distracted, and it gets you out of your normal rhythm. So I had my iPad, and I punched up find my phone on the iPad. It showed me where my phone was. It was on the road, because I turned around, so it was on the other side of the road.
Right.
And it showed me on the map exactly where that phone was. I was like, okay. The reason why you put in the money for the value. I went and got the phone, picked it up. I couldn't find it at first. I couldn't see it. I'm like, but it says it's right here by the road. I looked over there. That phone was mangled, crashed. It was toast.
It was toast.
It didn't even resemble a phone. That's why I didn't see it.
Right.
And so I picked up the pieces of it, put it in the car, got in the car, and I just started driving. I was headed to the Apple store for a class or something. I said, well, I'll just think about it. I was like, okay, now I'm going to have to call T-Mobile. I'm going to have to get another phone for $79 and da-da-da-da-da. Then it dawned on me, wait, I have Apple Care. I took it to the place, And they told me I had to wait, you know, about an hour or so before I could get in to see somebody. I said, that's okay, mm-hmm. I'll wait.
Yes.
When I got in there, they looked at the phone and you know, they asked me what happened, and I told them.
Yeah.
And they said, well, if you have AppleCare, it may be covered under catastrophic stuff because this phone was gone. And I was like, okay. So I did. She said, well, yeah, you have AppleCare. They couldn't even pull the serial number off of it. It was that bad. So, but I had my digital receipts and I had been in there for something else and they knew I had the phone or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went in there, oh, we'll be able to replace it for you for $99. I was like, yes. Value, people. Value.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was like, I am so glad I paid. I think the AppleCare was like $99 anyway.
You're right there. Oh my gosh. Because anywhere else, you've got to find another $800 to $1,200 just to buy a phone and then do blah, 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 blah.
It was going to be another six and something else and da, 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 da. And then they said, you still have another something on the phone or whatever, so I'm covered. I was like, woo, thank you, Lord. And so I learned a lesson from all of that. You get stuff that is, you pay for value, you pay for a service that gives you value. Because if I had just bought it from T-Mobile or anywhere else without the care on it, I would have been buying a brand new phone.
Brand new phone, no question.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
You've been buying a brand new phone. Because my friend, I can't remember their phone, but they sent her a new phone. And I think it's pure leather screwed up. And then they sent her another phone. No, she sent it back to get repaired. It was an Apple phone too. And I don't know what year, whatever. But I know they called her and they said to her, same thing. Like, we'll send you a brand new phone. No shipping and handling. You have to pay, but you do have to pay $100. And she was like, I'm not arguing about that $100. She's like,
no.
I'm not arguing because they're going to fix that. I think Anna or iPad at the same time and send everything back. So she was like, she's getting a brand new phone. Never mind fix it. iPad, it didn't need replacement. It just needed whatever. But everything got covered under the same package.
Yes. And that's why you want, especially if you're buying a high-end item, you want the coverage that comes with it. And don't try and nickel and dime. Well, that's too much. And and you want to get something cheap.
Yeah.
When you get cheap, then you get cheap service that follows it.
Exactly. When you buy something as is, that's what they just told you. As is. You can't tell them anything. It is. You buy it. And I'm not saying if your budget, that's where your budget is at the moment. Your happiest plan, that's where it's at. That's fine. But your job is to figure out how to get it to the place you know that it's substantial.
Yeah.
Because we only stay in the place we are when we decide that's where we're going to stay.
Oh.
And we don't like to hear it. And we get upset when somebody tells us about it. And we've been upset about that since we were kids. But what we don't realize is that we continuously do this. A friend of mine said this online, and I agree with her. You get so used to your struggle that you stay in your struggle longer than you're supposed to.
Oh.
You stay in that struggle state because it's home. It's what you know. It's what you like. It's what's easy, if you will. It's what's easy. The reason your kid doesn't want to do something extra is because they're afraid of the unknown and how hard the unknown is going to be. If you know that this is what you do, that's why I rarely take on challenges that sometimes I used to question myself, like, why would I do this? Like, I could do this other thing. But the reason I stretch myself and take on challenges is because it keeps stretching me. You know, I started out just the coaching and I started developing courses, but then I had a couple opportunities to consult and I started consulting because I recognized that it stretched me. And I was honest up front to the couple of clients. I said, listen, I've never consulted in this specific area before, but if you're willing for us to work together, this would be my price. Of course, they'll go after, but you know, and I'm straight up front. They know what they're going to get from me and they discuss what their needs are. And I bring to the table things they never even thought about, but they can see a value in it. So they're willing to pay for it and we can move forward. And if the consultation is just a one, some is a couple, some is not extended, it's still okay because I've had people come back to me because, okay, I needed this now, but now I need this. And so again, not because you mightn't So if you were stretching like I was, or I am, you're going to tell people up front, but you still don't discount the prices where you're like, because you still have the knowledge. Like, my knowledge is still there. I just haven't pictured this way. So that's the other thing, right? You're in your business, and that's why the paperwork, the, all this work that I'm talking about, this admin work, is where you get to see yourself on paper so that now you can deliver it easily. Remember, if you ever went to any kind of business school or anything that you did in school, you remember that the presentation is one of those reasons why school allow you to do presentations, right? So you can present yourself. That's why everybody talk about this elevator speech. You know, how can you do it in 2 seconds? You know, I'm a money mindset coach, and I founded my academy. And then if you want to know anything further, we'll get into anything further. But I wouldn't spill anything more than that to you.
Correct.
Because I'm giving room for you to ask me questions also, right? That's part of the reason. But this is something that I worked on and worked on and worked on. It seems simple, but it was a work in process to get me to this point.
And you're right. I like, now this is what I just learned from the what you just talked about. We decide to stay in the struggle because of the fear of the unknown. We stay stuck in the struggle. You don't have to stay stuck in the struggle if you go out there to get more information. And you're talking about this month about the things that undergird the business, the infrastructure, the things that are, here's your business and here's everything underneath that's holding the business up. So we're talking business infrastructure, and we're talking about the assets that, you know, your business has assets that had assets when you came in. You were the asset.
Yep.
So your customer service, the things that you do, how you, and we talked about having a plan and having or a budget or a happiness plan. It's part of that. Having your systems in place, and then getting rid of the fear.
Yes. Getting rid of the fear that's blocking you, not the fear that will propel you, because there's two kinds of fear. And I'm going to just talk on number three because we're getting close to our time. So I'm going to tap into number three just quickly. Have you earned any money yet in your business, or is it your job that pays for your living expenses? Because sometimes, here's the other thing, and I don't want you to run and leave your job, but some people use their job as a crutch to stay in their jobs and pay for everything and have this side business. But it's not really a side business, it's a hobby, because the business is not bringing in any money because they're not working the business. They'll tell you, well, you know, when I come from work, I'm way too tired. The people who is in university, college is 25 to 30 hours of studies after school. Could you imagine how much it is for university? So let me tell you this. If you start a side business, you need to spend per week at least 30 hours. That's something a lot, yeah. But that's divided up into, you know, 6 days that you need to do research, set up your system, understand money going in and out, understand how you feel about money. Because that is such a big thing that nobody wants to study, how you feel about money. I often say to people, you should probably run your home. If you can start a business, run your home like a business before you start a business, if you haven't started yet. And look at some areas in your home life preparation. I just started writing some articles on it. Just outlines and stuff. But I had this talk during last week there. Because I'm really not online. A couple of weeks now, I've just taken a break. And I was just writing up some stuff about running your home and understanding the way you set up your home is the same kind of principles for your business. Think about it. If you're a young woman and you finish college or you finish university, or let's say you didn't even go, but you finished high school and you got a job, and you decide to get your own apartment, like, what is your plan for your apartment? Or you decide to gradually furnish it? Or did you have things that you come in with? And are you putting a price mark on them? And how are you eating? Like, what's your meal plan? Like, how are you exercising? How are you interacting with your friends and family? How often do you see them? What is your dream for your future? Are you looking for a husband eventually and get kids? Like, it sounds like, why are you telling people all this stuff? But it's important, because that's the same behavior you take over into your business world. Because if you couldn't pay everything, you say, you know, I need a little side job. So now, even though the hustle is great, you're hustling without a destination. So you're hustling away, and you got a side job, and you're paying all your bills, and you're tired, you're confused, and you're spending time with nobody, and you're irritated. it will put you in a sad place. And that sad place, we all know, could end up into sadness. And we don't want you to get there. So I often go back to the person. You're the person, how you see yourself, how you set up life. And let me tell you, if you were totally overwhelmed and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I never touch this stuff. Okay, put a full stop, take 48 hours, deep breaths, and really investigate you. Talk to business. Give it a week. Give it 2 weeks. Investigate you. See where you are, where you really truly want to be. And if it's something that makes you feel ashamed, then write it to yourself. Don't tell anybody else. And then figure out what is really causing the shame, what is really causing the fear, the heartache, or because some people come from a family that's not even shame. Pride. Like if they're too prideful, if they feel pride in what they do, people make them feel bad for having pride in what they do. That's something that we don't even talk about a lot because we always talk about the opposite side. But there is people in families that they can't even celebrate the greatness that they do because they have them in this place that you're being too prideful. Prideful is one thing, but you should have pride in what you do. You don't have to be prideful, but you need to have pride. And that pride sometimes comes across that way. But if you don't mean it that way, then explain yourself. Like, I have pride in when I do X, Y, and Z, and I like to turn it into something else. And that, what I just stated there, I'd like to turn it into something else. Go ahead and turn it into the something else and don't tell anybody yet. Turn it into, set up everything so that you do a presentation. I often, again, another thing I was thinking, but you got family and friends and people often say they're not supportive, but they're not because they're confused when you present because you're kind of asking them a permission if I could do it and they're in themselves haven't done anything so they don't know how to help you. So it seems like they're not wanting to help you. Versus if you had presented it, you know, I want to make these handbags and you said that to yourself. And then you went ahead and you inquire about zippers, material, pattern making, you take a class, whatever you need. And you now have this presentation and you invite everybody in and you say, you know, you don't say, do you think? You say, I'm carrying a new line of handbags and I wanted to present and show you my business model. This is where it's looking at. If you know anybody who's looking for handbags, here's how you can reach me. Have it set up. So even if they try to bring you down, I mean, they're going to bring you down 2 notches, but they can't bring you all the way down because of your foot set up.
Oh, so you've had your, you presented in confidence. You, you went in not asking for their permission. Yeah.
You really have to know that. You've got to know that because that really make people that has the best ideas, great, great ideas, don't do anything because you know, they're asking people for permission. Do you think I could do this? You sure I'm good at? No.
And you can that answer cannot come from the outside. That answer needs to come from within you because you'll always be asking somebody's permission if you start asking for permission.
Right. And then it goes that way with every other aspect of your business. And remember, we're talking about setting up systems today. We're talking administration part of your business. And I want you to have hit the ground running, doing well from the inception so that you can carry through and growing well as you do well in your business. We are doing, the Biz Chicks have cut our time down to half an hour, which is great. You know, I come and I do my little spiel. Anything further you need to, you contact them or I or whoever's presenting that day. So we are at our mark, and I hope it helped you with a little bit more on what we're talking about this month.
Could you recap the 3 points one more time?
Yes. So today we talk about number one, are you getting a sense that money is a problem in your small business? That was number one.
Okay.
And the reason we stated that is because if you get a sense of it, then there is a problem and there's things to do about it. And that's what we talk a little bit about. Number two, did you start your business without any money? And I want to burst that bubble because it's not true. You were the asset, as Fran was pointing out, and I stated you. And the things you bring along with you is your asset. So you didn't really start with money, but we tend to think that way. So then we're in a money place where we can't see to get more money because we're stuck in the, I don't have any money. And number three, have you earned any money in your business yet? Or is it your job that's paying for your living expenses? And why did I talk about that? So that you get a sense again of what's happening in your business. Because if money is pulling you that way, it's where your mind is telling you about money, your relationship with it, how you receive it, how you spend it, how you're afraid of it, if that's the thing. It has all these, you know, these things that it does to us. And the only way you can answer that question is by examining yourself. And if you're not sure, you're not sure the right question to ask about them, then, you know, you seek out someone like me, you talk to me about what it is about it and how you get to keep it and what you do about it. A lot of people, you know, run around saying, I want to make 3-4 streams of income, but it would be tiring to make all those streams if you don't understand the baseline, the sub-lifeline of all these things to bring in the money. The people who have several streams of income, even for them, get overwhelmed at times. So they need to have these systems, and they need to take breathers, not stop, but breathers where they stop and examine again. Like, am I putting in enough time here or too much time here to this specific aspect to bring me the money? You know, if you were an Avon lady and you want to sell Mary Kay, well, how do you combine the two? Because you might want to leave one and not deal with the other, because even though one might be, you like it, but if financially it's not doing well for you, then you might want to stay with the other one because you're looking at streams of income. Now, if on the other hand, you were doing this because of just the love and money wasn't a big deal, then you pick which one is more rewarding to you that way. But happiness comes from inside. And my mom said that yesterday, my daughter, like, happiness comes from inside, yes, but we also enjoy when people bring happiness to us. So it's two kinds of happiness. The self-happiness that you give yourself, like, you don't need anybody for that. But the other happiness is when somebody brings you a bunch of flowers, nice of chocolate, give you a really big hug, you know, compliment you, celebrate you. That's okay too, right? So
yes. So we just want to thank you all for tuning in today. We will see Coach Karen again next week and maybe on some other shows. Maybe she's a tech diva, so she tunes in on Fridays with us sometime. But she'll be continuing on the sub-life of your business next week. And 10 a.m. always, 1 p.m. on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So if you got questions, please put them in the chat. We will always look at the chat to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. If you are listening to this on the podcast, you can reach out to us. All of the information is, our contact information is somewhere on the chat, our email. You can send us an email and we will be able to answer your question. Today is Wednesday. Do these things that she talked about. Do a self-examination. Find out where you are and why you think the way you do about your business. So that is our time for today. We will be back tomorrow on Thursday talking health. We're going to be talking about respectology. And you're going to enjoy the gentleman that will be on with us. Mr. Brian will be with us. And so this is going to be fun. Robin set everything up. She won't be in, but Mr. Brian will be in with us talking about respectology. So tune in. Tell somebody to tune in. Friday, we're going to be talking tech. Make this a really great day. Go on and get your hustle on.
Yep.
Sharpen up the hustle.
Tell us
about what you got going on. We want to know.
Tell us. We love hearing what people are doing. We love supporting you and whatever it is you're doing. And I think I've been thinking about it and I've been putting it out, but I want to do it. I wasn't sure how I wanted to name it, but I want to do a webinar concerning multi-passionates because, you know, I guess sometimes I get inspired too when I get a lot of emails talking about you can't be a multi-passionate. Is how it's dangerous for you, and it could be dangerous if you're not centered and systemized. She's not lying in that aspect, but it's discouraging for people who don't think they can do it. So you want to be able to help people on both sides to let them know that they really can. So,
and we want to say hi to Linda Nance, and she said #hashtag got my hustle on.
Good girl.
All right, Linda. And you can catch Linda just about anywhere. Gotta Be Handmade everywhere. So, Linda, thank you for dropping in today. We will be back tomorrow. And then Coach Karen will be back next Wednesday. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you all soon.
Don't forget to go to the front